This week is Parashas Bamidbar. Let's discuss a few ideas. The first idea, beginning of a new Chumash, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Oil Moed b'Echad l'Chodesh Hashenil b'Shana Hashenis. Let's say some Yeretz Shaim Leimar Su'u Esroish Kladas Meishol L'Mishpichosam L'Veis Avosam. First, you saw here we learn is that when we're going to count a census, it's going to take number of count the people Klal Yisrael. We're going to count them. Their families will be determined Leveis Avosam, following their fathers. In other words, if you have a mixed marriage, where you have a man from Shevet Reuven marries a woman from Shevet Yisachar, they have a child. This is an inter-tribe marriage. They weren't allowed to do this until much later on, but let's say it did happen. What, telling us a rule for all generations, which Shevet do you trace your lineage to, from the mother or from the father? So let's take a step back. By the non-Jews, the rule is you follow the mother. For example, we have many different nations have different rules. Amon and Moav, lo yavi b'kahal Hashem, someone from Amon and Moav may not convert. Even in the 10 generations, a Mitzri cannot come in to how many generations?
Four,
three generations. There are many nations which have different statuses. Canaan. If you're from the seven nations of Canaan, you have to leave Eretz Yisrael or become a Ger Toshav. There are different rules for every nation. Let's say you have a mixed marriage. Before Melech Asher was Mabalbal, all the nations, you have an Amoni who marries a Mitzri. They have children. What's the status of the child? So the rule is, by non-Jews, in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara, you follow the mother. And that's why nations of the world are called the Umos Ha'olam. A nation is called an Aim. Aleph Mem. Aleph Mem means mother. Why are the nations of the world called the Umos Aleph Mem? Because the nations follow the mother, not the father. Whereas Klal Yisrael, Pasuk here in Bamidbar makes it extremely clear that Klal Yisrael, you follow L'mishpichosam L'veis Avosam. Yichus follows the father. And we all know that if you have a marriage, L'maynaf Kamina B'zman Azeh, happens all the time. If a Kohen marries a Yisrael, or a Levi marries a Yisrael, or a Levi marries a Kohen, what are the status of the children? The children follow the father. Yichus depends upon the status of the father, not upon the status of the mother. So the question, and this is something that is unique to Klal Yisrael, and the Medrash tells us that it was a gift. It's not something which is natural. It is a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon Klal Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah, at the time when they came to the Midbar, when they came to receive the Torah. It was a special gift that was given to Klal Yisrael specifically when they came to Matan Torah. The Medrash says explicitly when they came to Matan Torah, here it says when they came to the Midbar, L'chodesh Hasheni, Bashono Hashenis, let's say some. It says here there shall be count L'veis Avosam, but we have indications, I don't have the exact sources, but there are indications that this gift of counting L'veis Avosam was given to Klal Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah when they came to Har Sinai. Why? What is this all about? So there are two ideas I want to present to you. The first is for the Ramban, very simple. The Ramban in Parshas Tazria. The Ramban says because the father, he quotes philosophers, doctors, that explain that the mitzvahs, when a child is born, most of a child's biological makeup, ruba de ruba, comes from the mother. This the Ramban says was the science of the times. And it's logical. I mean, the child is growing in the mother. What does the father contribute already? Father contributes a mashuhu of just a zerah to produce a child. The child is produced within a mother. However, the father gives the person tsura, something which is not physical. It's something which is his personality. I mean, a child, of course, the personality of the mother as well. But it means the father gives a Ramban. It's very esoteric. It's very hard to exactly define. But if you look at biology, I mean, look at it. The child comes from the mother. The child is the whole physical makeup of a human being. The child develops within a mother. The father gives something that is less physical than the mother. That's how the Ramban explains it. Therefore, the Ramban goes further, by the nations of the world, which are not interested in matters of spirituality, the nations of the world rejected the Torah, They had an opportunity. We know from Matan Torah, Kalash Rech went to all the nations of the world and said to them, would you like to receive the Torah? And they asked, what does it say in the Torah? And they were told various halachas, and they said, sorry, it's not for us. They rejected the Torah because they want to follow their base desires. They want to follow their taivos. So they're very good. That's what you want. You will trace your lineage to your mother because your mother is where your bodies come from. Klal Yisrael of Matan Torah decided not to follow their physical desires, but followed something which was not physical, something that was spiritual, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Zelu Mazeh, the father gives to a child more of the spiritual focus in life. That's something which is the spiritual kochos are given primarily by the father, according to the Ramban, and therefore, as a reward for accepting the Torah and agreeing not to follow after your physical desires, you will trace your lineage after your father, which relates more to the spiritual side of the human being. Okay, this is the Ramban in Parashas Tazria. Let's go with the Gra. The Gra is something a little similar. The Gra quotes the Gemara in Masech Tanit Daf Lamed Aleph. It's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that there are three partners in a person: the mother and the father, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem obviously gives you the neshama, something which we have no understanding of. The mother gives the red matter. So Gemara, I'm just quoting words of the Gemara, with the red matter, and the father gives the white matter. The Gemara goes on to explain what does the white matter produce? The bones. The bones, the gidim v'atzamos. And the Gemara lists a couple of other things. The white matter. Gidim v'atzamos. The mother gives the basar, the flesh, and all red matter. I'm sure scientists can break this down and explain in much greater depth what this means, but these are the words of the Gemara in Masech Tanit. Three partners, red matter, white matter, and neshama. Along comes the Gra, and he explains that after a person dies, it's a big question, what happens? Is it all over? Or will there be a Tchias HaMeisim? So the answer is, depends for who. For Klal Yisrael, there will certainly be Tchias HaMeisim, because Klal Yisrael was given the Koch of Torah. Torah is a Koach, something which is Nitzchias, which is spiritual, which is beyond the physical world, and through the Koach of Torah, there will be Tchias HaMeisim. I mean, this is one of the 13 principles of faith. If you don't believe in this principle, we're in trouble. Ani ma'amem u'nishlema and Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim, where does it come from, Tchias HaMeisim? It comes from the recognition that not everything in this world is physical. There's something spiritual. And what's spiritual? The Torah. And the Torah was given to nourish the neshama. Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah. They nourished their neshama with spirituality. They will merit Tchias HaMeisim. The nations of the world rejected the Torah. They were offered the Torah. They said, no, we're not interested. You're not interested. You don't have the tools to come to Tchias HaMeisim. That doesn't necessarily mean there's no Tchias HaMeisim for every single guy. That's another discussion. That's not for now. But basically, the guy rejected the Torah. They rejected the ability to nourish their neshamas for there to be Tchias HaMeisim. Klai shall accept there will be Tchias HaMeisim. From where does Tchias HaMeisim begin? So everyone knows the Chazal. It begins from the loose bone. The Gemara says that every person has a bone. The body decays. 99.9% of the body over time decays. Even the bones decay. The bones turn into dust. But there's a little teeny, teeny microscopic bone called the loz bone, which is indestructible. Mm-hmm. Indestructible. And it is from that loz bone from which Tchias HaMeisim will begin. That has the DNA. We can appreciate Tchias HaMeisim in modern times. We already see stem cell research. You see, from one cell, you can reproduce organs. You get a taste of what Tchias HaMeisim is all about in our time. And that comes from the DNA that's in the loose bone. Who gave us that bone? Who gives you that bone? Your mother or your father?
Father.
The Gemara says the white matter comes from the father. The Goyim have no Tchias HaMeisim. They reject the Torah. They reject the Koch to nurture, to sustain, to nourish. Their neshamas, there's no Tchias HaMeisim. So the bone means nothing. What's the world all about? It's about the basar. Taiva, have a good life, enjoy yourself. And after life is over, it's over. That's how it is. It's all over. It's not so simple, but That's Klal Yisrael. It's all just a means to come to Tchiyas HaMeisim. And Tchiyas HaMeisim is the bone. Who gives you the bone? The father. Therefore, we trace our lineage from our fathers, because our fathers are our future. What is our future? Our future, what? What's the future? What do we have? What's that? Our future is Tchiyas HaMeisim, yeah?
It isn't necessarily only one single bone, but it's bones in general, because we talk
absolutely
about,
because all the bones.
The Atmos Yosef did.
Absolutely. But what the most important bone that we are concerned with is the Luz bone. That is our future. But the bones eventually decay also, and the bones turn into dust. But there's one bone that does not dust. What is our future? Our future lies in Tchiyas HaMeisim. How are we going to get to that future? What's the secret? The Luz bone. Who gave us that Luz bone? Our father. Therefore, the Gra says, that is why Klal Yisrael, it's an incredible Gra, Klal Yisrael traces their lineage to the father. Because what's our future? Tchiyas HaMeisim. How are we going to get there? The Luz bone. Where do we get Luz bone from? From our father. That's why we focus on our fathers. The Goyim, they have no future. They're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. Who cares about the Luz bone? What do you care about? Pleasure. What's pleasure? Pleasure is basar. So they trace their lineage to their past, to their mother, who provides the red matter, not the white matter. These are the words of the Gra. I think it's a very powerful Gra. Now, why am I?
So why is it in determining who's the Yid and not, we go after the mother?
Because you have mixed, you're not a full-fledged Jew. If you have a mix between a non-Jew and a Jew, that's what Torah says. You want to be a Jew full-fledged. You have to have a Jewish mother. That's not an issue. You're not even Jewish yet. Once you enter into the world of being Jewish through two parents that are Jewish, then now you want to go weiter. But you can't establish yourself as being Jewish unless you start off with a good foundation. Now, let's go further. Now, why am I telling this to you? Because all of this occurred at the time of Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the key to Tchiyas HaMeisim. Chazal said this explicitly in reference to Tal. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Chazal tell us, goes to Gemara. This is the Gemara also, Masechta Shabbos Daf Pei Ches. It is all very, very basic. These are not Zohar. It's all run of the mill. The Gemara in Daf Pei Ches, the famous Gemara, then Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Parchu Nishmasan. Everyone died. The terror of hearing Hashem speaking to a human being, it was such a frightening experience. Klal Yisrael parcha nishmasan. And what happened? Hashem sent down tal, dew. Tal, I say birchas tal, tal of Tchiyas HaMeisim to revive Klal Yisrael. And this process repeated itself throughout the entire Aseres HaDibros, at least the first two, until Klal Yisrael said enough. We can't take this anymore. Moshe, I mean, you take over. We can't speak to hear Hashem speak to us. We can't live like this, hearing Hashem speak to you directly. But Chazal say the koyach. So it's not an accident that the koyach of Tchiyas HaMeisim came about in Matan Torah. All it works very well with the Gra, because the Gra says, why don't we trace our lineage to? And it also works perfectly well with the Medrash that says that the gift of tracing our lineage to our father came at the time of Matan Torah, whereas the Goyim remain following their mother. We go after the father at Matan Torah, because at Matan Torah we accepted the Torah. The Torah is the tool of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Tchiyas HaMeisim is our future. Our future depends on the Luz bone. The Luz bone comes from the father. Matan Torah was an event of Tchiyas HaMeisim. It was an event. It wasn't just an event that Hashem gave us the tool to go further into a future Tchiyas HaMeisim. Literally, it was a moment of Tchiyas HaMeisim where our neshamas departed. It says in the Gemara, and Daf Pei Ches, our neshamas departed. Okay, now, why am I telling all this to you now? Because I came across something fascinating yesterday in the Sefer Lechem Alivov by Rav Avraham Shur here on East 15th Street. And he says that I don't know where he got this from. This is his own, or he found it somewhere. He takes note of Avraham Shur. Halekach v'halivov. As many, like the 10, 15 volumes, one of the volumes says, he writes, again, I don't know where he got this from, he says that the bracha of Tchiyas HaMeisim, Atogibar Loilam Hashem Lechayimesimata Rav Lohoshia. Now this only works out in Nusach Sfart when you say Moirid Hatol, okay? And only works out in the summertime when you say Pesach and Vaite, because that's the purpose of Trias HaMesim. The real Trias HaMesim is Moirid Hatol. Not everyone, you should know, the Shulchan Aruch, but even people who daven Ashkenaz, many of them say also Moirid Hatol, okay? In Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people say Moirid Hatol. So again, the Bracha Atogibar Loilam Hashem, the entire Bracha, the second Bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, which is the Bracha of Trias HaMesim, from the beginning to the end, Baruch Atah Hashem Lechay HaMesim, has exactly 49 words. I counted it 5 times to make sure. This I actually, most things I tell you, I checked out. 49 words. Again, Atah Gibor Liyom Hashem Lechay HaMesim, 49 words, including the word Morid Atol, and he says each word corresponds to one day of the Sfira. We count 49 days of Sfira. So what in the world does the Sfira have to do, this counting of this Omer, have to do with Trias HaMesim? It's exactly the answer, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. For what purpose? Wonderful, we're free people, wonderful. We have children, grandchildren, we're free people. Torah, but what is Torah all about? Nitzchias. Torah is not just, okay, you have Torah, you learn a few Daf Gemara, and you go Vayta. Torah, this world is just a prozdar. It's just a hallway to something much more significant. There's a Trias HaMesim. There are much greater things in store, which we have no wonder. That's part of the Emunah. Animamim. So we don't know what these things mean. But it's all about. It's all about Trias HaMesim. Matan Torah was all about Trias HaMesim. The Gemara, I just read you the Gemara. They depart, they gather life back. We trace our lineage. The gift of tracing your lineage to your father was given to us at the time of Matan Torah, because that's when we got Trias Torah, Trias HaMesim, the Luzbon. Everything is about Trias HaMesim. That's exactly why there are 49 words in the Bracha of Amchayim, in the Bracha of Atah Gibor, because the counting process of Matan Torah, of Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, is a process to come to a level, to come to the Kabbalah Satara, when we will be worthy to come to some appreciation of what it means to Chias HaMesim. That's why there are 49. So it fits very well that, especially, what is it? Especially fits very, very well, because what are the last 5 words of the Bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Lechayei HaMesim. The end of the Bracha is the most important part of the Bracha. We're going to learn, we didn't get it in the Kish Shulchan Aruch, but the Kish Shulchan Aruch says, you know, we're dealing with people who can't have Kavanah. The average person cannot have Kavanah the entire Shemoneh Esrei. I don't know about you, it's very hard to concentrate from the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei to the end of Shemoneh Esrei. So you have to have priorities. Priority number one is the first Bracha. Second priority is really Modin. That's the second priority. The third priority in the list of Kish Shulchan Aruch is, the Ikar is the end of the Bracha. If you can't have Kavan, okay, it's understood. Not everyone, and you say the same thing every day, it's very hard. But try, if you can, when you have a choice, when you have a spurt of consciousness in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, to say the end of the bracha with kavana. Baruch Atah Hashem Shamea Tefila. Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. Baruch. Whatever the end of the bracha, the last words. That's the essence of the bracha. What happened? What happened on the last 5 days of the Omer? We arrived at Har Sinai. The last 5 days, and when you come to the site. You go make a simcha, you come to the wedding hall, you know, you hear, it's happening, it's not happening yet, photographer isn't here yet, but it's you're on the way, you're here. B'chodesh, how does the learning begin? B'chodesh, hashlishi, tzeis v'shalom v'shalom, b'yom hazeh, bohu midbar Sinai. They came to the third day, the first day of the third month, Chodesh Sivan. Today is Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Today is the anniversary of coming to Har Sinai. In six days, Matan Torah. Today begins the last 5 days, the countdown to Trias HaMesim. Today begins the essence of Trias HaMesim. Baruch. What?
The link
between and Trias HaMesim, because at Trias HaMesim we were given the Torah, and the Torah is the tool Torah is nitzchias. Torah is eternal. Torah is the tool. Is the thing which gives us access to tchias hameisim in many dimensions. The goyim rejected, and we see that example. The goyim rejected the Torah, and we accept it. What was our reward for accepting the Torah? We trace our lineage to our fathers, and they don't. Because that means we will have Tchias HaNesim. Because we're going to have the loose bone that's going to take us further. And who gave us the loose bone? Our fathers. Tchias Torah, Matan Torah is Nitzchias. Torah is Nitzchias. Nitzchias Tchias HaNesim. And there are 49 words in the Brach of Tchias HaNesim. We count Sphere. We're really counting towards a moment of Tchias HaNesim. And we should especially appreciate this more now on these last 5 days of Baruch HaTo Hashem Mechayim. Because the end of the bracha is the essence, and it fits very well in the timeline, because the last 5 days are the days when indeed we did arrive at Har Sinai to Mekabel the Torah.
But the 49 words thing, first of all, that doesn't work for half the year.
Oh, but not
secondly,
it works. No, but it works.
Secondly,
it works during the time. This is the time of the year. This is the time of the year when you misspell for Tal. When do you begin Tal? You begin to. It works out. It's even better because you misspell for Tal on Pesach on the first day of the Omer. This misal you misspell Pesach and has Hakdama for the Omer. So it works out very well for. It doesn't work for those who don't say Morid at all.
Yes,
okay, very good. I told you in the very beginning, it's not going to satisfy everyone.
It's kind of absolutely.
No, it's not only the Svardim. A lot of Ashkenazim say Morid at all. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very common. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very common.
Yeah,
to say Ashkenazim to say Morid Atol. So Enochanami, for the Ashkenazim that do not say Morid Atol, you're right. It's a problem. You show there's some Ashkenazim, it doesn't work out for some, because some Sfarim, they say Mashiv Haruach and Morid Atol. They say another two words. They say Mashiv Haruach. So for them it doesn't work either. Okay, I told you, it's an idea. It's something which many people. No, it's not fudge. I think it's something very powerful. Really, the Shiloh Siddur is Morid Atol. Okay.
That's the way I learned when I was getting
that.
You have to say it.
It's there in the Siddur. It's okay. It's not fudge. There's something to it. It's a very interesting idea. Okay, now. Being that you like this idea so much, let me tell you an entirely different idea, which is a little similar. I also saw the root of this idea, at least the part that I'm going to tell you, and Rabbi, he's in the same paragraph, he says the same other idea, which I'll tell you in a moment, but let me first discuss an idea that Rabbi Maievsky mentioned to me 2 days ago, and I saw it in two svar. Chassam Sefer talk says this, and I saw this in another Sefer. I think even the Arizal, it's called from the Arizal, mentioned this. And that is something very interesting about the counting of all the Shvat. If you look at the Golden Parashah, you'll notice, listen, pay close attention to the Kriyas HaTorah, you'll notice that after every Shevet it says, or at the beginning of every Shevet, it says, Lishima. There's always a lamet. We're now going to count. Let's start with the Shavana. Okay, let's go through the names. And now we begin to count. So first we have Reuven, and we count his number. After we finish Reuven, Livnei Shimon. There's always a lamed. When you begin to count, you're a mathematician, begin to count, it's always a lamed in each one of the 12 Shvat. We go to Yehuda. Livnei Yehuda. Told us some lemishpach, some levesam, some mispar shemos miben eshem shemamal lekol yitzei savah. We give their number arba o v'shirim elef v'sheish meos. Livnei Yisachar, and so on and so forth. The only time we leave out that lamed is we get down to the last one. The last one is Naftali, and there it says bnei Naftali. How many people were included in the tribe of Naphtali? Told us some, Lim Shosom, Bezavasam, Bimispashimos. Okay, we have the name, Bereshim Shavamaluk, Yisrael, Bukudim, Lati, Naphtali, Shlosh, Avachamish, Elef. We have 53,400. But by Naphtali, we don't have a Lamet, Bine. So all of the commentators ask the same question, what happened to the Lamet? Don't tell me, printers, what happened to the Lamet? So the answer given is, Moshe Rabbeinu knew the sum. He was told that the total sum is 603,350. Moshe Rabbeinu was given in advance, the total sum. There's going to be a total of 600, in the Nevuah prophecy, 603,550. Okay, now we've got to break that up into 12 parts. And each part is different. There are 12 tribes. We have a sum, 603,550. We're going to break them into 12 parts. Okay, interesting. I don't know, Moshe Rabbeinu was not told in advance. He was told the total number, but he was not told, seemingly, that's how the most Mepharshim learn, he was not told in advance, even though he was a prophet, how much each tribe is going to have of that number. He doesn't know. So therefore, so when he counted Reuven, oh wow, interesting, this is the number. Okay, that means our remainder is now limited to...
It's called backing in.
So after he goes to 11 tribes, I've learned now how 11 of those 12 tribes are divided. I now know, I don't have to count the last tribe. Because since I know the total number is 603,550, and I already counted 11, I know how much the 11 each one has. Memela, I know for sure that Naphtali is going to have, whose numbers was 53,400. It's obvious. Moshe was a mathematician. He knew the numbers 1, 2, 3.
He didn't have total batteries, so he did it.
Soul batteries. So he knew the number. The Nela, there's no Lamed. There's no Lamed. The Lamed has a connotation for this tribe, we have to go figure out the number. I know what the number is. The number is, this is B'nai Naphtali, this is the number. We have this differentiation between the tribe. Now, that's the basic yeso. That's the basic gist, the common denominator of this Vard, of all the commentators. Some of them go further. And yes, if Moshe Rabbeinu already knew the number, why bother counting? If he already knows the number, and he's a prophet, he's in Maimon HaKadosh, Hashem tells you something.
He only knew the total.
I know the total number. I've counted all. Moshe doesn't waste a minute. He doesn't waste a second. Moshe, I'm sure, has very important things to do. If Moshe Rabbeinu was given the number, the total number, 603,550, and he counted already 11, I know, I already can just write down, I don't have to go through the motions and write down on the chart the number by counting them. I'll just write down the number, fill in the blank.
Well, it's good from Hashem. Hashem, you see continually that he's counting to
Oh, very good. But look, he's referring to the kasha. But it's a good kasha, right? So why bother counting? So the Chassam Sofer really says what you say. He says, because Enochanami, the counting of the last tribe is a different type of counting. The counting of the other tribes, I'm counting because I have no choice. I got to count. I got to know the numbers. Hashem wants me to know the numbers. The last tribe, I know the number. I'm counting because of the Chavivos. I love them. I love Klal Yisrael. These are my people. They're my flock. They're my flock. I know the number. I don't really have to count it. But like someone who likes money, you love money, and you have in your pocket $1,000 broken up into tens and twenties. You know how much money you have. You love to count it. I know, it's just a chavivos in counting the money in your pocket, even though you know how much. You're not checking, it didn't go anywhere, no one stole it. And you know, this is a chavivos in counting. Menela, it's a different type of counting. B'nai Naphtali, it's not with the lime like all the other shvatim. Okay, this is a popular vart, beautiful, yeah. Yeah?
The Alpha mentions also about the answer here is that no one should fear left out. Like, they not fully, if you don't count them, they start to feel like they don't.
Right, count. Right. They don't count and they're not important. It's the same idea. It's like the Chassam Sofer a little bit.
It's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Them.
On them, they're also part.
Not in the Bator, but who said it? Chronologically, the earliest one who said this is Shaul Amster.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
All these
late comers.
Can I count how much of the count?
Yes.
So it's commandment to count whether he wants to or not.
It's part. Yeah. We have to. we have to understand that maybe Hashem didn't tell him exactly. Maybe Hashem told him count the majority and figure out the nus. That's all part of counting. If you count the majority, you know the remainder. That's also included in counting. Let's assume that to be the correct answer. Okay, Hashem count. So you count 90. If you count 90, no, you don't have to count the last one, number 100. That's also the nail. That's the nichol in the counting. Now let's go further with this idea. I warned you. I'm not finished with you. Now let's go further. Now, how many shvatim are there? We just learned today in Devar Hayamim there are 12 shvatim. Now everyone knows it. How many letters are there in you add up all the letters of the 12 shvatim? How many letters are there?
50.
Oh. So if you Gemara Sota,
Malei
Chasuke. So in Chumash Bereishis, when you count the Shvatim, there are 50. I counted yesterday a few times. There are 50. Binyamin has two yuds, but in Chumash Devarim, the Brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu, and in this week's parasha, Binyamin is spelled Choseh without a yud. Okay, why? That's not for now, but it appears to me that most of the time Binyamin is spelled Choser, and therefore if you count, and I challenge you, I'm not making this up, you count the letters, I check this out, you count the 12 Shvatim and count the letters, the Ultra Shvatim, the way it's counted in by Moshe Rabbeinu, the way it's counted in Parashas Ban Midbar Binyamin, there are exactly 49 letters in all the Shvatim. What?
And that's what it
by how you spell all the name. Is there 50 or right? So
it's 25
on each side. Right. I'm talking about strictly the way it's spelled in the Torah. Right. There are different ways to spell it. They're spelled throughout Tanakh different ways, but the majority, or at least in Bamidbar, it's spelled 49 letters. Binyamin has one yud, and all the other ones are pretty standard. They're all Mali, in fact. They're all very standard. Binyamin is just missing a yud at the end, which is not a kasha. It's a mechirik chaser, no problem. And equals up 49. So, I don't know where he got this from. Rabbi Shur is genius. I don't know where he got this from, but he says the 49 letters of the Shvatim correspond to the 49 days of the Omer. And when you go, just like you have all these charts, you know, you're counting on the Koyach, and you're going through Lamatzeach, and every day corresponds to a letter and a pasuk and to a word, and all different counting. There's another thing you could add to your list. You shouldn't, but there are, in a deeper level, as you go through the 49 days of the Svira, you're going through the 12 tribes. Every day is another letter in the 12 Shvatim. And now, what does that mean? That means, and since over here we're coming to Parshas Bamidbar, now which the question is the order, which you know, you can write the Shvatim different ways. So since this is the Ofer of Shabbos, the Ofer of Matan Torah, the Shabbos before Matan Torah, Shavuos, is, and we have the Degolim, and the way it's ordered in this week's parasha is Naphtali is at the end. It's very fair that the last of the Shvatim, there are many ways to count, but we just don't live out here, and we count at the end, Yosef ben Yamin, what was the end, in whatever it was. But over here in this week's parasha, Naphtali is the last, he is the last, but in after, he has five letters. The last five days are the last 5 days correspond to Naphtali, because he's the last. And Naphtali has five letters. And what's this in the last five? That means 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, starting from today. Today is 45, starting from Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is the day when Klal Yisrael arrived at Midbar Sinai, in front of Har Sinai, to receive the Torah. It took 7 days until it actually happened, but they arrived on scene. And these last days correspond to Naphtali. There are 49 letters. Go through the 49 letters of the Shvatim. What's the significance? So now we can go further. We can just add a little Hosafa. The significance is the counting of these last 5 days is not the same type of counting of the first 44 days. This parasha, the yesodos of the parasha of the week lie in the parasha. Parash Bamidbar is the hachon of Matan Torah. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he counted the members of Klal Yisrael, There were two different types of counting. There was the counting of the vast majority of Klal Yisrael to 11 tribes. Why am I counting? I gotta know. I gotta count. Hashem told me to count. I gotta count. How many you have? And of course, I count. I love them. When I count them, everyone is precious. But Naphtali was different. When he got to Naphtali, he wasn't counting because he needed to know the number. There was an extreme dosage of chiba, of love, in counting Naphtali. I know their number. I'm counting them because I like them. I love them. I want to count them. They're chav in my eyes. That's exactly what we're doing. We counted 44 days. Okay, you know why we counted 44 days? We got to get there. We got to get from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. So we went to 44 days. We're getting there. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is an anniversary, the reenactment. We have arrived. We have arrived physically at Har Sinai. When are we getting the Torah? 5 more days. 5 more days left to count, and then Matan Torah. There are 5 days left down. Countdown is 5. When you're on scene, when you're on site, and you're counting down, it's a different counting. It's a counting of chiba, of love.
So why was it Naphtali that was
after that? Rabbi Shuri discussed that, because Naphtali, was he called Naphtali? Rashi has many perushim. It's a very complicated Rashi in Parshas Vayetze. With the birth of all the Shvatim, Naphtali Losh of Tfilah. Rachel was Naftuli Elokim Niftalti im Achosi Gam Yocholti. Rashi, one of his parishioners, says Naftali Loshon Tefillah, prayer. I prayed very hard. Naftali Ayalosh Shalucha Hanosein Imre Shofer. Words of beauty. Naftali is the Koyach Tefillah. What's Tefillah? To connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu vo eschanan el Hashem vo esahi leimar. There's no greater about tzila than Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no greater shaliach tzibur than Moshe Rabbeinu. Vo eschanan el Hashem vo esahi leimar. Hashem lokim atochi losa kelna refon ola, heal her. Moshe Rabbeinu was Marech, was Mekatzer. He was Mispal for Klash and Lechero Egel. There's no greater Baal Tzfil than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had a special chilus. This is really what Rabbi Shur says. Had a special connection to Sheva Naphtali, because the Koich of Tzfil lies in the Sheva Naphtali, Naftuli, more than the other Shvatim.
Normally we think of Yehuda, let's say, as being...
No, Yehuda's the Malach. Yehuda's the Melech. Why? Every Shevet has their Koichos. Yehuda's Malchus. Malchus is not necessarily Tzfilah. Hayeluchud v'hayeluchud. Because Hoidah, Ato Yeduchah, Hoidah, giving Tzheva, Hoidah, admitting mistakes, being but the Koich of Tzfilah to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe had an affinity with Naphtali, and therefore the Chiba came out in the fact that he did not count them for the number, he counted them because of their love. Matan Torah is all for the purpose, the connection. Okay, and the famous svart. I want to sound like a broken record. Famous svart. Ilu Hakadosh Dayenu. Hakadosh Baruch would have taken us to Har Sinai. V'loy nosan lanu es haTorah. Dayenu. What do you mean, Dayenu? You come to Har Sinai, you don't get the Torah. What's the Dayenu? What's the purpose? The purpose is the connection. You've made that connection. Even though Hashem didn't, nothing happened. Hashem didn't answer your prayers. I didn't give you anything. You've connected. Nischabarti. I have connected myself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Koyach of Naphtali. This is the Koyach of Moshe. And this is the Koyach of the last 5 days of the Svira. It's a different type of Svira. Think of it. We count days. We count weeks. Be careful. Different types of counting. There's 44 days of counting, and there's 5 days of counting. And that is something we can extract from the learning of this expression.
Why isn't Levi mentioned here in terms of counting?
Levi, because they have different counting. That's a different sugya. That's a different sugya. That's a different sugya. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Okay, another idea. Two more ideas. Next idea, a quick idea. This week's parasha, we learn about Pinyin HaBen. Now, Pinyin HaBen appears prominently throughout the Torah, especially in Parshas Bo. But in this week's parasha, Parshas Bamidbar, really is the parasha of Pinyin HaBen, because it tells us the reason. It tells us that the only reason why you redeem a son is because the Bechor really was meant to be the coin. Okay, the firstborns were meant. The firstborns were meant to be the Kohanim. Hashem took away the avoda from the firstborns and gave it to Shevet Levi in punishment for worshipping the Egel. And the only that, and therefore, when a child is born, you have to redeem the child. Why do you have to redeem the child? So, because what it said that this week's parasha. Let me read the words of the parasha to make it clear. Kach es halavim, tachas kol bechor, in place of the bechor, the bnei Yisrael. So it says here that the Levim took the place of the firstborns. Okay? So now are there any firstborns here, by the way? Any of you Kohanim? Or your firstborn? Any firstborns who are Kohanim? You're Bechor the Sukkoyim? Wow, okay, great. And let me ask you a question. You're in a lot of trouble. Okay, it's brought down by the Maril, Erev Pesach, firstborns fast. Why do all the firstborns fast? Because simply, on a very simple level, because the Mitzrayim, all the firstborns were in danger, and Hashem spared the firstborns, and therefore we realize we're in Sakana, and we have to fast. It's only to Hashem's kindness that the firstborn survived. The Maril says, if you're a firstborn and you're a Kohen, you don't have to fast. You ever hear this before? The Maril says, he brings down, it's not his own. Unbelievable chiddush. I'll tell you, it's this week's parasha. He says, this Maril brings on from Mahari Segel. You know what the Mahari Segel is? He quotes the Mahari Segel, a firstborn kohen does not need to fast. Why not? So he explains, because this is what he says. I mean, this is the logic. We don't do this. It's not acceptable halacha. What's the logic? Because why does a firstborn really fast? Erev Pesach? It's not only because they were threatened they could have died. It's much deeper than that. The firstborns really were meant to do the avoda. They were meant, it was meant for them. Because Hashem redeemed the Klal Yisrael, B'nei B'chor Yisrael, it goes to Madiba. It's Erev Pesach. Hashem is wiping out the firstborns of the Egyptians. And instead, the firstborns of Klal Yisrael are going to be elevated to Kohanim. What happened? The firstborns, they worshipped the eagle. They said, we're not interested in Hashem and the Torah. We'll worship the eagle. Sasha, you don't want the eagle. You don't want the Torah. You rather have the eagle. You don't want the Torah. Okay. You know what? Forget it. You're not going to be Kohanim. I'll take away your rights as Kohanim. I'll give it to Shevet Levi. They'll be the firstborns. So Erev Pesach, it's not that we're fasting because Hashem saved us. That's not the issue. Because if the firstborns would not have worshipped the eagle and they would have been the Kohanim, they would not be fasting Erev Pesach. Hashem, that's what Pesach's all about. We celebrate because they suffer. They try to destroy us and Hashem punished them and we survived. So it's a time for celebration. It's not a time for fasting. You know why you're fasting? Because you should have been celebrating. Whole different look. You should have been celebrating Hashem wiped them out and made you Kohanim. But you botched up big time. And you gave away your avoda of being a Kohen, of being a doing the avoda, to Shevet Levi, because you were more interested in some gold and dancing around some gold. So you have done a very great sin. But the Mahari Segel says, if you're a Kohen, you're a descendant of Shevet Levi, you didn't lose out anything. You didn't worship the eagle. So that's right. Hashem killed the firstborns, and he gave the avoda to the firstborns to be. And that's right. I'm a firstborn, and I do the avoda because I'm a Kohen. So if you're from Shevet Levi, you didn't do, and you're a firstborn, you didn't do anything wrong. So there's no reason for you to fast. Incredible. Credible insights. So therefore, We don't accept this, okay? That's not the custom. The custom is he came, once he can start making exceptions, he'll become... Now, it goes right. The Marsha says something which is amazing. And the fourth year, what do? You go up to the base and you give over, you say, Vidui Maisa. Vidui Maisa. Biyariti HaKoydesh Min HaBayis. You say, I've given my solution, my sesheni, trumas meiser, I've done everything Hashem, I've done mine, you do yours now, I've done all. And what is it called? It's called vidui. What? Is that the word, the proper word to use for making a declaration? I'm coming to the base in English, and he's saying to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm a tzaddik. I've given trumas meiser, bikurim, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I'm a tzaddik. So why is it called vidui? Vidui is the klap al chet. What's vidui? The answer is, you shouldn't be giving away your truma. You should be giving it to your firstborn son. You have truma. You have a son. You have a bechor. You have a child. Hashem gave you a bracha to have a child, the firstborn. He gets the truma. You give him the truma. He's the koyein. He's the one that does avoda. What are you doing? Ribbono shel Olam, bi'arti hakodesh min habayis. Out. The truma is not going to my son. The truma is going to Shevet Levi. Why? Why would you give away the truma? Because my son worshipped the eagle. And my son lost the right to be a kohen, to get the truma. And it's my chinuch. It's because I was not mechanech in the right way. I'm a sinner. And we represent this today. The Mela, it's vidui. It's a confession of sin. It's not a good thing that you have to give away your truma and maaser. Same yisoid. Bi'arti ha-kodesh min ha-bayis. This is the Marsha. This is unbelievable. Sapurno says something similar in this Marsha. Maril, a whole new way of looking at what you're doing when you're fasting. Now, the only thing I want to add is, okay, to this idea, which really comes from this week's parasha. I mean, this is the parasha. Talk about it. Not parasha's bow. It's this parasha. Kach es halavim, tachas kol b'chavim nei Yisrael. This is it. This is the real deal. Now I want to add one little haysafa. You ever go to Pinyon Aben? It's a very strange thing. Pinyon Aben, you come there with a child on the pillow, all dressed up. Everyone is into all these farish of things, pesamim, all these strange things they do on. And then they take out a sitter. Okay, I don't have a sitter in front of me. And you read the sitter, it says, the kohen says to the balabat Yisrael, sir, what do you want more? Do you want the child or do you want the money? You have in front of you two things. You have five shkolim. Costs a lot of money. Five shkolim, what does it cost? How much does it cost of five shkolim today? Whatever it costs. It's a significant amount of money. It's a lot of money, whatever it is. Five shkolim. So the kohen says, sir, what do you like better? Do you want to keep the child or do you want the money? So the father responds, it's part of, this is everyone, this is universal. So the father says, I'll take the money. I'll take the money. I can't afford diapers. You take care of it. No, that's not what the father says. Chas shalom, I want a child. You can have the money. You can have the money. What in the world is going on? This is like bizarre. What is this all about? Answer is, I think, based upon this yesod, it's very simple. Why did Klal Yisrael worship the eagle? Why do they do this? Taiva? What's going on? They go, there's an eagle, they're dancing on the eagle, Moshe comes down, and he takes the Luchos Yisrael. Why? So Moshe Rabbeinu, he comes to Hashem and says, Hashem, it's your fault, Hashem. It's your fault. You know why? You gave them a lot of money. You gave them too much. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. It's because of the gold and silver you gave. You gave them too much gold. They weren't ready. You're dealing with slaves. You're dealing with people who have nothing in Egypt. You told them to borrow from the Egyptians because you want to keep a promise to Avraham Avinu that you'll go out. B'rechush Gadol. You gave them so much gold. They just clouded their minds. You don't know how to deal with wealth. If you go from rags to riches, you say they have studies, people win the lottery. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with wealth. They're not ready for this. You gave them the money, it went to the head, they got all wrapped up in the money. That's they took the gold, and they made the gold into an eagle, and they started worshiping the eagle. They wanted the money. So now, and that because of that terrible mistake, what happened? All of the firstborns, they lost. They lost the kahuna. They lost it. That's pretty sad. It's a very heavy price to pay for the gold. They lost. And who got the avoda? Kohanim. They become the kohanim to Hashem. And Sheva Levi, no more the bechor. Now you're coming to redeem your firstborn son. So the kohen says, so let me ask you, you're coming here to redeem the son. Did you do tshuva? Look, you have a son. This bechor should have been... should have been a Kohen. That's what you do. You have a big party. Look at the party. It's not such a good party. It's not a happy scene. You come into a big party, a big hall, everyone's coming, everyone's so happy, and you have on the pillow a child. This child that's on the pillow should have been a Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kohen says, Chaval, too bad for you. You did a terrible Avera, or your ancestors, and this child that's on the pillow is not going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. You did a terrible Avera, and you have to do tshuva. And you're going to be giving money. The Chazal say the money is pidyon, lashon of purkan, is salvation. V'chatosecha b'tzedaka pirok. Redeem your sins with tzedakah. You're going to have to give money to atone for the sin, for the terrible tragedy, for the terrible tragedy that this child is not going to be a Kohen. It's a sin. You need to do tshuva. And part of the tshuva costs money. To do tshuva, you have to, it hurts, and the pocket has to hurt. Do you do tshuva? Okay. So the Kohen says, but you know, if you're going to give money, it's really meaningless unless you really do tshuva. So let me ask you, the Kohen says to the Yisrael, what do you want more? If you can do it all over again, Gesundheit. If you can go back to Matan Torah, to Har Sinai, and you have in front of you the gold, and you have your child who can be a Kohen Gadol, do you want the gold? Do you love the gold? Ad kedei kach, you'll worship it. It's more important to you at the expense of causing your child to lose the right to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Or would you give up all the gold, throw all the gold in the garbage in order that your son should be a Kohen Gadol? That's what the Kohen asks the father. He says to him, why is there such a tragedy today? Pidyon HaBen is not a happy event. It's not a happy event. It's a tragedy. Why is there this tragedy today where you're losing, this child's not going to be a Kohen Gadol? It's because Matan Torah, this child was supposed to, but you had some gold in your pocket and you worshipped the gold. It was more important to you than your son. So now, let me ask you, did you do tshuva? What do you want more? You want the gold? Or you want, or, well, okay, it's silver coins, okay, but you want the money? It's the kesef. You want the value, the egel, or you really would want the son? You would really want to take the child and raise him to be a kohen to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the question. And the father says, I've done tshuva. I want the son. If I can do it all over again, I would never worship the money. I would throw the money in the garbage. I would get rid of the money, and I would take for myself my child to make sure he would be a Kohen Gadol Beis HaMikdash. Makes perfect sense.
But by the eagle, they were giving away the gold. They weren't keeping it for themselves.
They weren't giving it away. They were giving it to themselves. They took the money. They took the money to worship it. It was, they gave money, didn't give it away. Or they gave it away. They put the money in the fire. They had they were singing and dancing around it. They were indulgence. It was indulgence. So this explains the mahalich in the. Now, very quickly, one last thing. I really want to spend a lot of time on this. We don't have time. Just to rush your parking. It's a beautiful idea. We have here the Degolim. There are four Degolim. We have four Degolim around the Midbar. What's the purpose of these Degolim? You have flags. You have 12 Shvatim, and the 12 Shvatim are divided three. Each three Shvatim are divided into groups, four groups. And each of the four groups has a special flag. They're all flags, and there's a main flag. Who are the four? Adir Bamoram Hashem. Adir is Aleph, is Ephraim. Dalet is Dan. Yud is Yehuda. And Reish is Reuven. Those are the four heads of the 12, there are 12 Shvatim. The 12 Shvatim are divided into four parts. Each of the four parts has three Shvatim. And each of the four has a leader. And the leaders are Adir, Ephraim, Adalid is Dan, Yud is Yehuda, and Reish is Reuben. Okay, what's all about? So I saw something from Rabbi Wilson, and he says that the reason why this caught my attention, because we just learned it yesterday in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, is that when you say V'havi'enu l'shalom e'arba kanfois aretz v'solichenu kongmiyos l'artzenu, you are supposed to take the tzitzis from your garment, pull them together, put them in between your zeres, between your pinky and your and the next finger and the ring finger, and you put a hole by your heart. What's this all about? You take, what's going on here? So simply means from the four corners of the earth, you have a garment. The garment is like, it's like the world, and it's kibbutz golius, right? You're gathering in Klal Yisrael, you're taking them all together. Rabbi Wolfson says that's not another, that's a posh pshat, but there's a much deeper pshat. It refers to the degolim. Because he explains each of the tzitzis is divided into three parts. Chazal used the terminology that one third is gedil, and two thirds is psil. Each of the tzitzis has three parts. Two of them is loose, one is bound together. How many of these do you have? Four, for the four corners. Each of the degolim, each section around the aron had how many shvatim?
Three.
Had three shvatim. Just that corresponds to one of the tzitzis. There were four groups, each group had three. Two of them were loose, and one was in charge. One was the gedil, was the degel, was the one that was in charge, and the other two were under his authority. Just like each of the tzitzis has three parts. And how many are there in total? Four.
Three parts of the tzitzis.
The tzitzis is divided into three parts. Two-thirds of the tzitzis is supposed to be loose, the strings. And the top third is knotted. So Rule says the two-third, that tzitzis corresponds to one of the degolim. There are four degolim. There are four sections. And each section has three parts. Two of them were followers and one was a leader. The gedil, the part that's knotted, the five knots, and the wraparounds, that's the leader. The two parts that's loose are the followers. There are four of them on the four corners. When you're taking the four tzitzis, what you're really doing is you are reenacting kibbutz golius. You're reenacting the way Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar. When they travel in the Midbar, they travel with the urn in the middle. The heart is in the middle. The heart represents the Kedush, the Shechina, the heart. And the person's heart is where the Shechina is resting. And you're taking the four tzitzis, you're taking the four degolim, and they are being brought together, they are surrounding the center. Now, so it's a reenactment. It's a reenactment of the degolim. Okay, he develops it in more and more detail, but the point I want to make is, Bazev Limit Al Zeh. Now we can understand the Nusach. It's a very strange thing. V'havi'enu l'shalom me'arba kanfos ha'aretz v'solicheinu komimiyus li'artzeinu. What's the purpose of the degolim? From learning that the degolim is captured in bringing together for its tzitzis, we can learn from the nusach what the degolim is all about. It's to walk komimiyus, upright. Last week was the Teichacha. Right before the Teichacha were a series of brachos. The last word of bracha was V'hoylech eschem komimius. Komimius means upright. Rashi says B'koyma zekufa, an upright posture. The Targum says B'cherusa, freedom. Cherus, freedom. The purpose of the Degolim is an expression of pride, confidence. It's very strange. Well, why do you have to have Degolim? What's this all about? What's all this going about? When you have the golem, when Klal Yisrael is in position, they travel in a certain way, it gives Klal Yisrael pride. And the pride is defined, V'hoylech eschem komimius, you walk with Koyma Zakufa, in a state of Cheirus, and you travel to your destination, just like in the Midbar, they were traveling to the Midbar, where? They were traveling to Eretz Yisrael, from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what we're trying to do, Bizman Hazeh. The whole tafkid of the Golem is a Musa Haskafas Bizman Hazeh, is that all the different parts of Klal Yisrael should recognize everyone is different. No, everyone, Kashem Shep, Patsuvim, Shalas, Kach, Desem, everyone has their Mokoim, but they're all unified in the role of traveling around the Shechina to go together, Komimilos Li Artsenu, Kibbutz Golias. So the Nusach has an amazing insight. Now that we know that taking the four tzitzis, it's very difficult to understand what's the purpose of the Golem. What's this all about? But now that we know that taking the four tzitzis, bring them together, is a reenactment of the Diglei Midbar, and we now look at the words that we say when we do this, that opens up our minds to understanding the purpose of the Golem. And what are the words? First of all, the concept of Kibbutz Golios, V'yavienu l'shalom, me'arba kanfos aretz, v'solichenu komimiyus liartzenu, to go to Eretz Yisrael in a frame of mind of Cheirus and in a frame of mind of Komos Kufa. Okay, it's a little abstract, but something to think about.